Message will be the cross, no afterthought. I had thought last week that I would be teaching on the substitutionary work of Christ this week, but after reading the scripture closely, I couldn't pass over the eternal purpose, the eternal counsel, the eternal decree of God, because it's right in the text. And so we will be covering this topic today, the cross, no afterthought. If you could turn to Jonah chapter 1, and I'll read from verses 1 through 16. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me.
Excuse me.
But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found his ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty, mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine application? And whence come thou? What is thy country? And what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was temperous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth unto the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. I was going to cover the last part of this and cover the substitutionary work. As Jonah was thrown into the sea, he was a substitute for the other people that they might live. And as Christ was a substitute for his people that we might live. But going through the scriptures, I came unto a verse that I couldn't pass over. And that verse is verse 7. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Before I get into the scripture, I just want to go into an overview of what we did last week. Last week we saw God's sovereignty, that he is supreme, and that he does what he wants. That no one can say, Why have you done this? Nebuchadnezzar came to the point where he had to cry to God and say, All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? We have to come to this living reality that he is sovereign and he does what he wants. Also, we saw that God sets a commandment. Arise, go to Nineveh. But when God sets a commandment, it's one-sided, or a covenant, it's one-sided. It's not that we have an option. When God sets a covenant or a commandment, it's one-sided. He sets it, we must do it. He's sovereign, and his commandments are one-sided. Also, we saw what condition we are in. We are depraved. We are dead in trespasses and sins. Romans 3 says, none seeks after God, and that there is none righteous, no, not one. In Jonah verse 1, chapter 5, it says, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast for the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten them of it. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he laid and was fast asleep. Here we have a great, huge storm happening on the sea. And if you could picture yourself being thrown all around, and he's down there fast asleep. I don't think any of us would be fast asleep. But it's a picture. He's depraved. It's a picture of depravity. It's a picture of being dead. All the cares of the world. And the world is doing what they want to do. They're children of the wrath. And Satan is doing a lot of damage to this world, and men don't care. It's because they don't seek after God. Jonah was dead to the storm, and unbelievers are dead to God. In verse 7, it says, they cast lots to find out the cause of the evil, and that's human nature, to take things into their own hands. They cast lots to find out. A Christian or a person who is truly trusting in their God is not going to cast lots to find out. If you could turn to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing there is of the Lord. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Human nature believes everything that happens is by chance. It's our depravity. We don't trust in God. We believe in chance. That's why we have astronomy. That's why we have the signs. That's why we have palm readers. The world believes that everything is by chance. But as Charles Bridges has once said, the Bible teaches us that things that we concede to be accident are really under providence. What is chance to man is the appointment of God. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing ever has, nothing ever will. And I'll give you a picture of this. If you could turn to Genesis chapter 37, verses 3 through 11. Chapter 37, 3 through 11. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and bowed down to my sheaf, and it bowed down to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream before, dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars have bowed down to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee in the earth, to the earth? And we see that everything that happens from this point on, where Joseph is cast down into the pit, and then he's sold, and he goes to Egypt, and he goes to prison, and everything thereof, it's not an afterthought, it's not by chance. If you turn to Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 20, Genesis 50, 15 through 20, And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will perhaps hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of thy brethren and thy sin, for they did unto thee evil. Now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants and of God, of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass, as it is this day to save much people alive. God meant it for good. It wasn't an afterthought all that happened. It was all in God's providence what happened. His dream, the famine, it wasn't by chance. None of it happened by chance. It was God's appointment. He does what he wants. And so Christ coming to the earth, born of a woman, wasn't by chance. It wasn't an afterthought by God. It was decreed or predetermined. Bracco once said, We understand the decree of God to be the eternal, all-wise, sovereign, immutable purpose of God concerning all and every matter, comprehending both the time and the manner in which these matters will occur. A decree is just a counsel, it's a plan, it's a purpose of God, and it was set before the foundations of the world, and it's eternal, it doesn't change. And it concerns everything, and it comprehends both the time and the manner in which it will occur. And so it is with the cross. And as we get probably next time, when we get a chance to preach on the book of Jonah, we'll get probably next time in the substitutionary work, and we'll see how Christ substituted for his people. But it wasn't an afterthought. It was God's predetermined purpose for this to happen. Friends, before the foundations of the world, God had a plan. And his plan has been into action ever since. And as Ephesians 3:11 says, it's the eternal purpose. It's from eternity to eternity. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's the eternal purpose. It's the eternal decree. From eternity he had set this purpose or this plan into action. And everything is going according to this plan, and it's in Christ Jesus. In Job chapter 23, verse 14, I'm going to cover a few scriptures, but I'll try to take it slow. So you can get an understanding and a feel. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Whatever he has appointed is being performed. whatever he has appointed from the foundations of the world is in action. That's a providence. What he has decreed is his plan, and his providence is the working out of that plan. And we're in the providence stages. Everything's being executed according to his purpose and his plan. And what for he performeth the thing that he has appointed. We cannot make a left turn and think we can escape God. It's just not going to happen. We cannot leave God behind and think that we can escape. You are where you're at this time and what's happening in your life. It's not by accident. It's not by chance. And as I mentioned, Christ's coming wasn't an afterthought. No, my friends, the cross was planned. If you could turn to Psalm 2:7, this is another book over from Job, chapter 2, verse 7. I will declare the decree or purpose or counsel. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. It wasn't an afterthought. That's a decree. It was said. Everything that's happening with Christ, everything that happens now has been decreed. It had been planned. It had been purposed. I will declare the decree. The Father did it. It was a predetermining counsel. And as Christ came to the earth, born of a woman, as we see in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, Galatians 4:4 says, But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time was come, Calvin said, Paul would have believers to be content with God's chosen time scale, and therefore he tells us that the time had not been right until that moment. All such things are in God's hands and are decided upon according to his good pleasure and his immutable or unchangeable will. We must all submit to his sovereignty. We can't understand a lot of times why God waits and this happens, that happens, but it's all in his immutable, unchangeable will, and it's all according to his good pleasure. And maybe it helps us to learn to submit to his sovereignty. And they really couldn't wait in the Old Testament. They wanted their Redeemer to come. The Old Testament saints were waiting. And Genesis 5:29, we can see the picture of it, even with the naming of Noah. They wanted the curse to be removed back then. In Genesis 5:29, and the naming of Noah, 5:29, and he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. They thought Noah was the Christ. They thought he was going to come and release that curse. That curse that had been set back in chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou return, and unto dust you shall return. And all through the Old Testament they were waiting for Christ, the Old Testament saints. And it was more of a picture showing all the way through the Old Testament of Christ coming. At that time they didn't have much understanding. They knew one was going to come that was going to release them from the curse. That was as much knowledge as they probably had. And so when Noah was born, they called his name Noah because they thought that the toil of their labor would be released. Sin caused a curse, and they were waiting for Christ to be the curse bearer and comfort them. But it wasn't the fullness of the times yet. It wasn't God's timing. In Ephesians 1:11, which Chris read today, it says, "Who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." It's not our will. He does according to the counsel of his own will. That word counsel is that word decree, or its plan or purpose. The purpose of his own will. He worketh all things, everything that ever happened. He does according to his own will. He doesn't ask us what we think. He does it according to his own will. And when the fullness of the times came, Christ was born. And he was born as the last Adam to do everything that Adam couldn't do. And it's a mission. It was a plan. And Christ came and he was on a mission. He was on a mission to do the Lord's will, not our will, his will. John 6:38 says that he came down from heaven not to do his own will. 6:38 says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Came down on a mission, and his mission was the Lord's will. He said, "The Father had a plan, and I am here now to fulfill it. My Father's will be done." And Jesus was intent, and nothing would sway him. He must go to the cross. Luke chapter 22, verse 22 says he was determined. "And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined." He's going to the cross. He's on his way. Nothing was going to stop him. Nothing was going to sway him. Why? It's already been determined. It's already been predetermined what Christ was going to do. It had been set. Christ came to do the will of the Father. It had been determined. Nothing was going to stop him. He was going to the cross. Herod, Pontius Pilate, they didn't make chance decisions at the time when Christ was taken into captivity. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't an afterthought. If you could turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 27 and 28. "For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together." For what? Verse 28. "To do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel or plan or decree determined before to be done." It wasn't an afterthought, friends. It had been determined. His counsel determined before to be done. Pontius Pilate, Herod, everything they did, it wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't by chance. It had already been determined to be done before time began on this earth. In Acts chapter 2, let's turn a couple of chapters over. In Acts chapter 2, verse 23, Acts 2, verse 23 says, 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel." There we go again. It's something that already been set in place. "Determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands had crucified and slain." Wasn't an afterthought. The cross was determined. It went according to God's absolute purpose. Nothing went even a little bit off. When God sets something in place, it will happen, friends. We can't escape Him. And we should praise God that this was a predetermined plan of God. Because he should have destroyed us for what happened with Adam. In John 3:17 says, "For God sent not his Son to condemn the world." He should have condemned the world. Should have been all condemned and should have been blown up. When Christ came, the whole world should have been condemned and sentenced to punishment. We should praise him for this. that he had a plan and that it wasn't an afterthought. And as Isaiah chapter 53:10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. It says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. When he went to the cross, he seen his chosen race. That's a seed. That's a seed all the way down, his chosen race. He saw him. The cross was no afterthought. It was determined. It went according to his purpose. The lot is cast into the lap. We think everything's by chance, but God determines what happens. And he determined by his eternal purpose in Christ Jesus. And Luke 22:29 says, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. Even before the foundations of the world, that word appoint in original is actually comes into the same Greek word as the word covenant comes. And then you can actually say, and I covenant unto you a kingdom as my Father hath covenanted unto me, or a promise. It's a promise. A covenant's a promise or an oath. And if this isn't eternal security, I don't know what is. I appointed to you a kingdom before the foundations of the world, because I have appointed Christ one. It's already been appointed. His seed has a kingdom waiting for them. And it has been determined, predetermined before the foundations of the world. It's been from eternity to eternity. And what about us? What about us when we get all excited when something good happens in our lives and we believe God has a great plan for us, but what happens when something bad happens in our life? We think determined before the foundations of the world. What makes us think that anything bad happens to us wasn't predetermined? If Paul can go through everything that he went through, and all the martyrs went through everything they went through, it was all predetermined, friends. Everything that's happened. All the martyrs, everything. Everything that happens. And it is God's plan, whether we want to believe it or not. But there is a kingdom in store for us, friends, and that's been predetermined. And that's a comforting thought. No matter what we go through in this life, we have a kingdom. It's been determined. Nothing will sway God's hand. It will happen. As sure as Christ went to the cross, we have a kingdom for us. It's waiting for us. We should praise God. And we can turn back to Jonah and close up. So we see there was a great storm that happened, and they cast lots. And so the lot fell, and it fell upon Jonah. It's not no afterthought, it's been planned. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine application, and whence, where do you come from? What is thy country, and what art thou people? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm up unto us? For the sea wrought and was temperous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so that the sea may be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. But anyways, we see in verse 13, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. And these are the scriptures all the way to the end of the chapter we're going to be covering next week. And it's a picture of we're trying to save ourselves. And these men were trying to save themselves, but they can't do it. It's only by the substitutionary work by Christ. It's only by this means that we can be saved. Nothing in our own hands can we save us. We can try, row hard. It can't be done, friends. Praise God for His substitutionary work. And the next time I preach anyways, we will dig into that. Anyways, let's pray. Heavenly Father, praise be to Your holy name, Father. Lord God, You truly are great. And Father, let us draw comfort that everything is into Your hands. And what You had determined and purpose will go according to that purpose. We can't turn a left corner and get away. Nothing will ever sway Your hand and how we should draw comfort. And we can draw comfort that You have appointed a kingdom and nothing can ever take that away. Father, how great You are, how majestic, how we should praise You today even more than we ever have before. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.